Introduction theme bit to Micra Podcast Troll. Yeah, probably will be shit, but by now you should probably know.
Jatak, Lausp.
27, number 27. Wizard 18 and 19, but before that, Hercules. The 2014 movie. The other 2014 Hercules movie. Oh wait, no, it was the one before, sorry. Yes, it's the one starring Dwayne, for some reason spelled with a U and not billed as The Rock Johnson. See, I jotted some notes down when the movie came out for some reason, so here's my impressions of it.
I am the young version of the old storyteller from 300. As ever, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be comic relief. Anyway, Hercules. He did some trials, fucked shit up, went home. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Young old storyteller from 300, when did the Herc give you permission to speak?
Sorry, Herc, I was just introducing you to the audience.
Shut your damn mouth, the Herc needs no introduction, for he who is I is, was, and forever shall be the most electrifying man in heroic folklore entertainment.
Yes, of course, but as a storyteller, I can bet.
You can bet know your role and take a glass of shut-up juice. Now sit your ass down while the Herc flashes back to his tragic past. Diddly-doo, diddly-doo, diddly-la-da-doo, it's the past. And a usual day for the Herc, in that the Herc is being loved by all. But hold on, just a goddamn minute. The Herc can feel something terribly wrong in his my very bones. Now tell me, what do you think that could be, you present-day candy ass?
I know you're just setting me up to say...
It doesn't matter what you think! Because what the Herc is feeling right now, which is to say back then, is that some goddamn role-not-knowing jabroni from the future is gonna piss him off! Which is why the Herc must finally... Finally... Go back to the future.
Are you okay?
Smackdown Hotel. If you smell la 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 la. Something to do with monkeys and asses. Blah.
Wee, I'm John Hurt. I'm acting again. Oh no, I tripped on this corpse. Blah.
Oh no, John Hurt, tell me you're still... No, that's... No. I suppose that means I'm all alone now. Ah well, I finally have time to read my books. Wait, I'm illiterate. Oh well. Blech.
And that was the unexpectedly tragic film, Hercules. On with the show then. Wizard 18, the 18th Hell. We begin, as usual, at the antique store home of the mage called Wizard, wherein said mage is getting a massage from his slave man-child genie.
Master, permission to speak?
Fine.
It's just that I don't really get it. Are you into this or not?
Don't try to put labels on me.
Of course not, Master. Even though I'm not sure how that was...
Hey, what's the deal with that cat guy who eats people?
Asks Lucy, the mage called Wizard's underage slash undead mistress slash worshipper, parentheses, it's complicated.
There's another cat person? Oh, wait, you probably mean that guy who eats funky phantoms, huh? Oh, and they're ghosts, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to you, bitch piss. So what you make of this lion clown MC?
As long as we're both channeling aspects of his darkest and most un-white-skinned Lord Satan, he can do as he pleases.
On that note, we go straight to Felis Fabricator, aka the mage called Lion, who appears to have literally set up camp at an old-fashioned shrine.
Alternate Wizard Land Buddha's third chin!
Complains an old man who seems to be running the shrine.
What do you think you're doing with that camp there, Sonny Jim?
What does it look like?
Indignantly responds Felis Fabricator.
I'm turning this baby into a shrine. Specifically one for his darkest and most unwhite-skinned Lord Satan. But you can't do that.
Huh?
I know my craftsmanship kind of sucks, but do you have to rub it in? No, I mean... First of all, what does your tent have to do with...
Well, if he conjures an aspect of Satan, he's gotta crash somewhere, right?
You gotta plan these things ahead sometimes, old-timer.
And on that note... Oh shit, really? Okay, we only just hit the introduction sequence for the first episode, which introduces us to Stinky Diver, a former Navy commando with an attitude as bad as his. I feel I should explain this as an Action League Now reference. So yeah, he's a diver guy in full gear being overtly evil. And by overtly evil, I mean he's smiling. He hops out of the water where he was doing his evil smiling thing and into a restaurant where it just so happens our B-hero Felix Fabricator is sulking.
Another stupid old monk kicked me out. Where am I supposed to live now? Everywhere else in the city's under construction.
Oi, you there!
Europeanly addresses Stinky Diver.
Yeah, you, the conspicuous yellow scarf-wearing painter who only seems to draw diagonal lines for some reason.
You know my name?
Asks a conspicuous yellow scarf-wearing painter who only seems to draw diagonal lines for some reason. Which is, of course, a key swoop a was to diddle officer for sure. On second thought, maybe I'll just call this one Scarfy. He continues to ask,
what in my uncomfortably low-hanging scarf are you then? Japanese CIA? Japanese the feds?
To which Stinky Diver replies,
what am I? Gaw, you know, I never really thought about it. Here, let me transform and see if you can tell me.
So Stinky changes into his funky phantom form, a form I can only describe as a welded shut vagina with seaweed coming out of the back, and a toothy, if completely phallic, salamander's head on the shoulder.
S-S-S-Sawijanderiness!
Immediately identifies Scarfy.
Well, that ain't quite the moniker I was looking for, but Queen Mary's kablingy if it isn't apt.
Hey, who do you think you are, having some random animal's head on your shoulder?
Indign asks Felix Fabricator.
That's my thing. Why, I ought to just eat your...
Would eating pussy make me a cannibal?
Crashing entrance noise.
Oh, my walls.
Everyone can relax.
The mage called Wizard has returned.
Indeed, our main hero, the mage called Wizard, has returned to this location he's never been to save the, let's say, threatened day.
You know that I'm not really here to stir trouble, right? I just wanted an autograph.
Don't care, gonna exterminate your entire species.
Cuts off the mage called Wizard. Afterward, both he and the mage called Lion Lion transform into their collectible toy forms and proceed to bicker while fighting.
Out of the way, let me at him. By which I mean, let me eat him. Look, as a fellow channeler of dark powers untold, let me tell you, you do not want to eat a Sawijinder.
Eat us away!
Splash! He jumped back in the lake, or whatever it is.
Tethravox eternal crotch! Can I get one just once without chasing the Arkley target for a couple weeks?
Huh?
Arkley target? Well, yeah, the ones they tried to get to fall into despair. You eat those things and you don't know where they come from? That is just sick. Here, let me take a sec to get you up to speed.
By way of unholy dance, MC Whistles gets the mage called Lion Lion up to speed on the whole funky phantom dealy.
So if I get one of these ugly target cats, a cat ton of funky phantoms are gonna come gunning for him?
No, just one or two, and if you beat one, they call it off.
Were you paying any attention to the finer points of the dance? Either way, they're basically still bait, right?
That is just horrible.
Judge interjects Nadette, who just wandered into the scene, as she does.
Those are human beings, you know. And if Whistles McDizzle here had the power to save them without using them as bait, then I'm sure he would.
Totally wouldn't. Think nothing of muggles. You should know that by now.
You what? Oh, right. Duh. I mean, you've psychonauted into me. I should know you even have the power to do that, but I've just been so distracted with avoiding my job lately that I don't know.
A very awkward silence follows. Broken by Felix Fabricator, who for some reason has decided to share his backstory.
A long couple of months ago, intrepid explorer Felix Fabricator was defacing an ancient Buddha carving. But on the third whiz pass, as they were called, he accidentally pressed the hidden switch on Buddha's dimple. And wouldn't you know it, the whole darn kit and caboodle just fell apart on him. And so, falling deep within the statue mountain, which as it turns out was actually a temple, Felix Fabricator encountered a strange and I run a fashionable belt, which he naturally had to try on. And it hasn't actually come off since. It chafes like a bitch, and in hindsight, I really wish I'd have taken off my other belt first. But you know, them's the breaks. So, as you might expect, after that, I somehow wound up with a talking ring on my paw. And since then, I've been driven to feed its insatiable hunger. Not the hunger of the ring itself, mind you, that'd be stupid. But rather, I refer to the ever-hungry spirit of the Dolphalcomele Iron Bull, which lives inside the ring. And that's pretty much all there is to know about me. Except sometimes when I sleep, the ring makes me build shrines to Satan. Though actually, that was kind of beneficial, considering it was my hobby anyway.
Huh, so your magic ring and belt came from an old temple, eh? I bet that means they're pretty old.
Deduces detective, not a detective. Jeannie then arrives to awkwardly shuffle her away, hopefully from the series. Wait, are you saying you got your powers without even suffering one of Satan's unholy trials of agony? Guess? Wait, what do you mean, God? This thing is a curse. I have to feed it all the time. Boy, you can tell me of curses after you've stared into Rotnogok's eternal crotch, whilst spooning with his 47 inside-out children. Not to change the subject, but where is that ugly target, anyway? Over there where we left Rotnogok's balls unshackled. Why do I let other people talk?
Teleporting to Wizzle's side is the Tandy Modem Computer Whiz Kids, by which I mean Lucy, Dedetnadet, and Jeannie.
I gotta get better at these snaps. I was only trying to get you here, Lucy. Look, we lost track of the target, and it'd really help if you could use that magic ball of yours to...
No, I don't feel like it.
Expresses Lucy with lack of feeling.
That's Lich King's vestigial wings. Fine. I guess we're gonna have to split up. Lucy, you go to the Forgotten Forest of Death's Deadly Embrace.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da, you just try not to eat anything toxic.
I knew you cared.
And I'll go over to the Tranny Donut Shop.
Mister, I think you forget me-
Keep dancing! It inspires me.
Yes, Master.
Meanwhile later, Stinky Diver exits the sewer he apparently felt like taking a dip in after diving into that lake. He comes out by a bridge, which, being the sewer equivalent of a rooftop, is naturally where our episodical villains Phoenix Wrong and Gorgonzella were hanging out.
A guy in a wetsuit? And here I thought we had rock bottom last time.
Come on, Gorgonzella, stop being so negative. I mean, I bet he can communicate with fish or something.
Or you're used to's. Mafflin off to the deli, me peepers panked into double flaffy majamalingas. How's in that, hey?
Asks Stinky Diver whilst cranking up his Europeanness.
And also the extent of his European-like mannerisms.
What?
He's wondering why there's suddenly two mages with a grudge against Funky Phantoms. I know, because I grew up in Australia, Leeds.
Allow me to explain.
Pre-exposits Frieza's Kingdom Hearts nobody.
You see, magic used to be like a science before society sold out to actual science.
And?
What do you mean, and? That's it.
Oh, I get it now. So what you're saying is the second mage is the primordial mage who feeds on our elkas to sate the hunger of some sort of Dolphalcomele Iron Bull which was infused by alchemists into his ring.
Yes, well, basically, you missed some of the political undertones, but that's the gist of it.
Yes, score on for me, huh, Gorgonzella?
It seems Gorgonzella has taken a trip to Meanwell later, where when our hungry hero, Felix Fabricator, is surprised to get a visit from her.
I don't know who you think you are, lady, but I'm pretty sure this encounter's gonna end with you getting eaten.
Yeah, whatever, you're still better company than those other... Huh. So I guess you already deduced that I'm a funky phantom, eh?
Wait, you're a what?
To demonstrate, Gorgonzella transforms into her funky phantom form.
Meow.
Just so we're clear, I was referring to Cunnilingus earlier.
Yes, I just got that. Look, you know how you're friends with that mage called Wizard?
Friends, I can't stand the guy.
Seriously? Huh. Well, in that case, would you mind killing him?
I don't see why not. Unless... Wait, this isn't just some ploy to use me, is it?
Of course not. I mean, if you can't trust a snake, who can you trust?
All right, fair point. Lady, you got yourself a homeless assassin.
And with that line signaling the end of a scene, we go to our Some of Them Who Like to Abuse You heroine, Lucy, who is now doubling back through the city.
Silly me. Forgotten forest of death's deadly embrace, not the ill-remembered woods of doom's deathly gaze.
Hey, homunculus, addresses an actually intended to be familiar voice.
Remember me?
Lucy turns around then, surprised indeed to see a surprise indeed, for it's a slightly older and taller J.K. Rowling, famed children's author and metrosexual associate to Kamen Rider 4s.
Wait, didn't I kill you?
That coming from a zombie.
Oh, I get it now. You became a funky phantom. No wonder the dolls were still hungry for flesh afterwards.
Yes, well, if you asked me, they were still happy enough to tear it up. Look, I'm not here to dwell on the past. I just want to give you this.
J.K. Rowling holds up a fakey plastic magic stone.
Give this to that queer guy you've been living with.
Yeah, you're gonna have to narrow that down a bit.
Underlay, ipa, ipa, ha, 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 ha.
With that, J.K. Rowling uses his apparent newfound super speed to run circles around her and leave the scene.
The fuck was that? Well, come to think of it, this would explain how his radio show kept airing.
Meanwhile, back to later, our Arkley Undermonster, Salvi Jindarinus, approaches Scarfy. Scarfy, who has for some reason returned to the same place he saw a penis salamander seaweed vagina monster just the other day. And then again this day.
I just want ambiguous adhesive poker on the lingam.
Asks Salvi Jindarinus.
For the last time, no, I'm not giving you my autograph. There's far too many verticals and horizontals involved.
Oh, ride the Cosmoshingy!
Quietly screams Salvi Jindarinus, probably for being shot in the salamander's head on his shoulder.
Do you see that?
Points the mage called wizard.
Whatever that thing I just shot was, that's why I'm genociding your people. There will be no place for uggos in the Neo-Wizard World Order.
So our bigot called the Mage Called Wizard starts beating the ever-living piss out of Salvi Jindarinus. Just as he's about to finish the job, however, he's murder cock-blocked by the mage called Lion Lion. And what's worse, the runtime's gotten out of hand, so it's the end of the episode! Wizard 19, the 19th Hell. We begin where we left off, Lion Lion fighting the mage called Wizard because a snake told him to.
Stabby Pounce Poke attack! Dots! Satanic powers or no, you're a fencing cat. Do you have any idea how many of those I've run up against in the pit?
Not really, but I just noticed the funky phantom got away, so
And whose fault is that? Well, the Arkley target's still here, so...
Right, I forgot about that.
Falco!
As declared by his talking belt, Lion Lion calls on the power of Falco Lombardi to help him fly away. Scarfy the Diagonal Painter in tow. Meanwhile, later... No? Strangely, we just follow Lion Lion to his landing point, which is a park presumably under construction. On landing, he drops Scarfy, and for that, Scarfy scowls at him, by which I mean continues to have the blank expression he's had throughout the entire arc.
Why did you kidnap me?
Scarfy fairly inquires.
I'm not actually sure where to start on that one. Oh, I know. You see, a few weeks or maybe months ago, intrepid explorer Felis Fabricator was...
Yeah, I don't actually care. Can we just stop by my house real quick?
Your house? Yeah, like I'm gonna let you go home after...
Flashlight clicking noise.
What in Houdini's Cap Mutiny is that spot on the ground?
No idea, but we'd better follow it, right? And so things play out predictably. Meanwhile later, the mage called Wizard hears his cell phone ringing.
I'm a wizard, wizard man!
Phone opening noise.
Whoever's calling, do not tell me that the shipment of sacrificial children was delayed again.
It's me,
says Dedet-Nedet.
And how are you not in jail? Again, I mean.
Well, they put you on my case.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyways, I looked up a conspicuous yellow scarf-wearing painter who only seems to draw diagonal lines for some reason in the phone book, and from there I got his address.
How would that even... I don't... Fine, what is it?
Meanwhile, later still, Felis Fabricator is fiddling with some string in Scarfy's pad. Scarfy himself is, of course, talking to a painting on the wall like a crazy person.
Yes, I picked up eggnog on the way over. No, honey, it's too early for that. And we have a guest.
No, I don't think he's Jewish. Do you have to ask that so loudly?
Hey, guy, are you crazy or something?
Gingerly asks Felix Fabricator, while upside down on the floor.
Huh? Oh, right. The short answer's yes, but I try not to make a big thing of it. You see, this talking painting here is of my wife. She used to draw the vertical and horizontal lines. I took care of the rest. But now all I have is this painting of her. The physical manifestation of my hope, one might call it.
Bing dong! Strangely opting to ring the doorbell instead of just teleporting inside, MC Whistles forces his way inside anyway when Felix comes to answer it.
Hello?
Antisnarf 2!
Felix meows and scuttles off.
Meow! Scuttle, scuttle, scuttle.
Leaving our mage called wizard with Scarfy, who's still talking to that painting.
Look, I'm just saying that if I held the portraits at an angle, I could still technically be drawing diagonal. No, of course not. I'm sorry, dear. I'll never consider it again.
Rips a gallmander's oozing gallbladder. At least you're making your deal pretty obvious.
You mind grabbing that painting real tight?
Or you could ignore me and make out with it. That works too.
With a snap of his fingers, MC Whistles teleports himself, Scarfy, and the painting to his antique store home, wherein his underfriends, the Dut-Nadet and Genie, are predictably waiting for him.
Master, permission to stop dancing? Briefly?
Why are you dancing to begin with?
Because you said, forget.
I know, I'm just kidding. Keep dancing.
So who's this Scarfy-looking cat, MC?
What? You know exactly who. You found him!
I did?
He's the Arkley target. Look, just watch him while I go find Lucy.
And so MC Whistles leaves the scene, and left by themselves, the supporting characters aren't really sure what to do. So Dedet feeds a stray cat outside.
Hey there, little guy. What'd it do?
Flying fresh, I guess.
Hiply answers Felix Fabricator, before sticking his face into an offering of canned cat food.
Nom 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 nom. I don't know why that wizard guy is such a bully, you know?
Well, you did try to kill him earlier.
Oh, yeah. But come on, that was hours ago. And I only did it because a lispy snake told me to.
That serpentine slut again?
Cries Lucy from inside, who has quickly retreated for the needs of my slightly skewed narrative. Door opening noise.
Get in here, pussycat. I'ma train you proper.
Your own?
A whip and several cuts later, MC Whistles and the Whiz Kids are walking by a fountain with the Arkley target, as well as his talking painting, which now has a sign over it saying, "This is the physical manifestation of an Arkley target's hopes." Were I a betting man, I would say they're trying to lure out the funky fandom of the Ark.
Master, we've been walking slash dancing in random directions for hours. Can't your hellbeasts or Lucy just scry where the funky fandom
is? Ah!
Genie recoils for having been bitten by Lion Lion, who, like Genie, is also now on a leash.
Speak when spoken to.
But aren't we in the same boat?
Chomp!
Yeah. But that was... Did that?
Yes, sorry. I gotta throw someone under the bus if I'm gonna fit in. So I'm one of your cool friends now, right, MC?
What? Right, whatever.
Yes!
Anyway, I guess Lucy's in the middle of planning a re-murdering of one of her old school friends. I don't want to get in the middle of that.
Queen Mary's contrarian nature, I finally found you, Smerinthian jackrabbits!
Incomprehensa shouts Stinky Diver, already in Sawi Jindarina's form.
And also the Paintflinger, well blimey be. Well, lookery, I just wanted to tell you that we got off on the wrong legger. All I really want is the Jack Hancock or that Scarfy fella, see? You know, on counts of his work tingling the underbelly of me soul equivalent. So there's really no ragaboo for us to be having a tiff.
Flames of all the fucks I don't give!
Bollocks! Wait a Maru. I almost stuffed the tinkler there, but me Salby Giant Arena's parts be immune to the burnies. As I just learned.
Indeed, Stinky Diver's still fine, but one thing isn't.
My physical manifestation of hope painting. It's been burnt to a crisp. And my face can't convey sadness. I really gotta stop opening with fire.
On account of the despair and formula of the show, Scarfy begins to crack up.
Oh, dimple in me eye, Jaina. Look at where you done. He was me favorite art maker.
What are you complaining for? I'm the one who has to go inside him.
Don't sweat it.
Sweat prevents Felix Fabricator.
I got this. It was basically my fault anyway. I'm not gonna argue, but in what way? Didn't I tell you? I might not have known where those funky phantoms came from, but I do have the power to psychonaut. It's just that I only used it to play God and Inception shit in people's brains before now. No, I meant in what way was it your fault that—
Meow, 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 I can psychonaut too!
I hate that I've already made my decision to spend the rest of my life with him.
And so we follow the mage called Lion Lion into Scarfy's brain, wherein, of course, there's a centipede of bats taped ass to mouth.
What in cats? Fancying? I really need work on my curses of incredulity.
Lion Lion steps on the bat centipede as to kill it. And then he realizes it's composed of several dozen living things taped ass to mouth, so he gets to work on the rest of them. Meanwhile, simultaneously, MC Wizzles has already strung up Stinky Diver by his innards, which are quite surprisingly comprised of smaller seaweed vaginas with salamander heads.
That should learn you to exist. Foop. Finally got all of them. So what did I miss of— Huh? Oh yeah, I wouldn't stare directly at that if I were you. Unless you're still hungry.
I don't think even I could... Well, you got a fridge I can stick him in?
And on that mediocre note, an arc closes. My thoughts on it? Well, for some reason I'm feeling an urge to buy a Ninja Turtle scuba diving action figure made entirely from seaweed, salamander heads, and vaginas. But then again, I did feel that way before. Next time, it's Tragic Magic, the mage called wizard's shittier powers he'll never use again unless he feels like it. Or... Crying Lion, the mage called Lion Lions on Wii-filled autobiography, most of which is written in the third person. Until then, good night, and go down Know Your Role Boulevard, hang a right at Jabroni Drive, and proceed to check your monkey ass into the SmackDown Hotel. If you fail to bring a monkey's ass, then you'll probably just be stopped at the gate.